Well, good morning, everybody. I'm very pleased to be here this morning. And before I say anything else, I want to thank you, the members and friends of this church, for the many get-well cards that I received when I was in the hospital. I certainly appreciated them. And also, I'm very, very thankful for the pastoral visits I received from Brother Bill Wood. I really appreciated them. Well, today is Memorial Day weekend. And the question is, shall I give a patriotic message? Today is also Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. Should I speak about that? Well, to be truthful, I'm not speaking on either one. In fact, my message would be more appropriate for the latest film that's coming out, The Day After Tomorrow, that I feel many Christians will be paying to see. And I'm sorry to say they are going to believe that this earth will be destroyed by global warming. I'm here to tell you this morning that is nonsense. Remember, God promised that He would not destroy this earth again by water. Let's take God at His word. My message is the best exercise, walking with God. Back in 2000, when I had my last surgery on my right quadricep muscle, I asked the Lord why. And He more or less told me that I want you to walk with me. Walk with God. I had a theology professor that didn't believe in that. He said it's impossible to walk with God. He says, God says, walk before me and follow my footsteps. He says, you can't do that. That's a snowshoe theory. Well, friends, I went to the wrong seminary. I should have gone to an Alliance seminary. How wrong that is. I want us this morning to look at this man, Enoch, a man who walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, there are over 16 different words in the Hebrew and Greek that are translated walk. 10 in the Old Testament, 6 in the New Testament. We read that Enoch walked with God. The word for walk there means to not literally walk, because there are some that will say, well, how can you walk with God when you can't see Him? Well, friends, what does the Bible tell us? We walk by faith and not by sight. Not only that, the meaning of the word walk there means to go in the same direction. I ask this question to you this morning. Are we going in the same direction that the Lord Jesus Christ went? He went to heaven. Are we heading in the right direction? Enoch, and by the way, friends, Stop and think for a moment. We are all related to Enoch. You can trace your family tree all the way back to Enoch, if you wish. You didn't realize you had a prophet in your family, did you? And did you know you had a great preacher in your family line? Noah, his great-grandson, a preacher of righteousness. Well, friends, Enoch's name means consecrated. Are we consecrated to the Lord? And then another meaning for Enoch is teacher. I ask you, are we teaching God's truth to our young people? Now, Enoch was a Gentile. He is a type of the church. The church is basically a Gentile church. He is a type of the church in that you will remember he walked with God and was not. He was more or less raptured. The church of Christ Jesus is going to be raptured. What an interesting man to look at. Just a very few verses about him. 4 in the Old Testament, 3 in the New Testament. Walking with God. You know, walking is one of life's earliest experiences. We begin to walk. We have help of others, parents. And then we go off on our own. I'll never forget that evening out Pleasant View, Wisconsin, when Ellen Jane was leaning up against our couch. She said, "Dada," and she made her first few steps to walk over to me. I'll never forget that. And you know what? Now at the age of 74, I'm learning to walk again. Now, if you would probably ask Ellen Jane, Becky, or Amy, they'd probably tell you he's learning to walk again because he's in his second childhood. And I have a sneaking suspicion Bill would agree with that. Well, friends, Enoch walked at the age of 65 after he begot Methuselah. And it's so interesting to note that when a baby would be born in ancient times, and they still do it in the East, the father would hold the baby up in front of everybody and give the name. Use your sanctified imagination. He held that child up and he said, "Methuselah." The name means when he is gone, it shall come. How would you like to have a handle like that? Your mother calling you to dinner. "Hey, you, when you are gone, it shall come. Time for dinner." And friends, that was Enoch's prophecy. In the book of Jude, the 14th verse, you read this morning about, his prophecy. You might say, "Well, when did he prophesy?" He prophesied when he held that baby up and said, "When he is gone, it shall come." He probably wondered, Is my boy child going to go through this wicked generation that was just wreaked with homosexuality? No. He said that when he is gone, it, the deluge, would come. Enoch had a blessed walk with the Lord. He walked in reconciliation. He walked in harmony. Amos said, can two walk together except they what? Agree. Amos 3, verse 3. Indeed, he and God agreed. They agreed to what was good and perfect and acceptable. We look at a description of his walk before his family. It was before his family in the home. Before his sons and daughters. Remember, he had Methuselah and he begat sons and daughters after. A description of his walk was before the world. Is our walk descriptive of our witness for the Lord? He walked in his own soul. In that we read, he had this testimony. His testimony for the Lord. We read of his commendation in Hebrews 11, verses 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was translated in that he should not see death. Friends, that same chapter tells us we must believe that God exists, a living, personal, all-wise, all-powerful, infinite being. And friends, he walked before his family, before his contemporaries. What about us? He was a prophet. Now, friends, we are not prophets. Let's realize that. But today, instead, we are stewards of prophecy. We are stewards of God's Word. And it's incumbent upon us as stewards to serve that Word to others. To serve that prophecy. Jesus is coming again. Look at the back of your bulletin. The fourth pillar of the alliance. The fourfold gospel, the fourth one, all right? Jesus, the coming king. Don't forget that, friends. That's the doctrine that we should be telling our young people. Jesus is coming again. And they need to flee from the vices of this world. 1 John 3, verse 3 says, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He prophesied the coming of the Lord. Now, friends, use your sanctified imagination. Just think for a moment. I sincerely believe that when Methuselah died, it was on his birthday. I believe that when he closed his eyes in death, the first droplet of water fell from heaven. People said, what's that? And the fountains of the deep broke up. Now you might say, hey, now look. How can you go along with such a theory as that? Well, Get your pens out, or pencils, paper. Maybe you want to make a notation in your Bible. Maybe you want to get your calculator out of your pocket. I'm going to sit down for the rest of this. You know, I just might be in my second childhood. Children forget things. They gave me a brace for my right leg for when I speak. I forgot it. It's home underneath the hospital bed. So I'll remember next time. But I'd like for you to look up some Bible verses. First of all, turn to Genesis, the 5th chapter, verse 25. And there you read of the birth of the grandson of Enoch. Who was he? Lamech. Now, how old was Methuselah when Lamech was born? Genesis 5:25. How old? 187 years, right? Okay, now look down at verses 28 and 29. How long did Lamech live before he begot Noah? Now, Lamech, remember, would be Enoch's grandson. Noah would be his great-grandson. How many years? 182. Okay, add those two together. 187 and 182. What's the sum? 369 years, right? That's how old Methuselah was when Noah was born. Now, skip over to the 7th chapter, verse 11, 7:11. In what year of Noah's life did the flood come? 600, right? Okay, add 600 to 369. What do you come up with? 969 years. Isn't that amazing how the Bible proves that Enoch's prophecy was precise, accurate? That's why I believe the flood came on Methuselah's birthday. I believe it came when he closed his eyes in death. How else can you explain the preciseness of this prophecy? So many claim, well, I never read of any prophecy he made. He made a tremendous prophecy, friends. Methuselah lived to be 969 years of age. Look at those three numbers. 969. The number 9 is the word for the end. You might say, how can that be? Well, think of it. 9 is the last number before you get into double digits. And if you go back to the days of Benjamin Franklin, when he was a printer, authors, editors would put a 9 at an end of an article. signifying that was the end. No more to follow. Six is the number of the weakness of man because of sin. Now, just think of that. 9, 6, 9. The weakness of man between two ends. Well, look at it this way. 9, the end. 6, man's weakness because of sin. 9, I said it once, that's it. There is no more. Friends, God has told us, and remember, we are stewards of prophecy. He has told us that as in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. How we need to be looking forward to the coming of Christ Jesus. In the days of Noah, homosexuality, all kinds of wickedness, transsexual business and all that stuff was abounding. What's happening today? We have a duty as descendants of Enoch to tell our posterity, to tell our young people that Jesus is coming in power and great glory to redeem us. But what about this world? Leviticus 18:25 tells us that he will visit the nation that practices homosexuality, bestiality, and all those other vile crimes. He will visit them, and the land itself will vomit out its inhabitants. Now, I looked up the meaning in Hebrew of the word vomit. You might say you have to look up the meaning of vomit. Well, I looked to see if there were any cognate words, any words allied to it that it was derived from, the Hebrew word ki. And I found that it means to cause smoke to go up. Think of it. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone came raining down upon those cities because of homosexuality. And what happened? The smoke went up. Friends, I'm afraid that's going to happen again. And it's going to happen to this nation unless we have revival. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can save this nation of ours. But it's incumbent upon you and me to tell our posterity, our young people, what's going to happen. Friends, 1 John 3, verse 3 tells us that he that hath this hope, that is a blessed hope in him, purifies himself even as he is pure. And you know, friends, I'm not saying this just because I'm here this morning in the Norman Alliance Church. But I'll say this any place, anywhere. I am so thankful for the youth work here in the Norman Church. I think you've done a marvelous job. Keep it up. And be sure that you tell all of your posterity the fact that Jesus is coming, Jesus saves. and he has healing in his wings, healing for our nation. So, friends, remember, we have a prophetic ministry. Even though we're not prophets, we're stewards. And remember, prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19. May the Lord bless us as we endeavor to be stewards of the manifold grace of Christ. Gracious Heavenly Father, we would ask Thee now that Your blessing will be upon us as we ponder the truth of Your Word. Help us to be effective, efficient servants of Thine, sowing the blessed seed, sowing the good news of salvation, warning of the wrath to come, and plucking brands from the burning. I pray, Father, that You'll bless each person here this morning. May they consecrate themselves anew to this, their ministry. I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen.